Manuscript Releases, Volume 14, Numbers 1081 to 1135. MR Number 1085. Christians, like soldiers, may face hardships and must work together in unity. Written to Dr. Kellogg in July 1886 from Basel, Switzerland. Oh, how my soul desires to see those who are connected with our publishing houses, our colleges, and health institutions making improvement through the wise use of every power the Lord has given them. Every faculty belongs to God and is to be used to His glory. The worthier the master, the more efficient service should we render as servants. Those who are connected with the work of God to benefit humanity should honor God by rendering to Him the best that they are capable of doing. Half-hearted, selfish work He does not accept at all. He claims of us that every power He has lent us shall be put to active exercise, that it may receive strength and culture. In ancient times, men were not allowed to lay on God's altar and maimed, the halt, the blind, and God is no better pleased with the poorest offerings today. He requires the best. If we offer to God weak and feeble intellect and ill-trained movements, faculties clogged and weakened by disuse, and then be unable to do good service, God cannot be pleased with such offerings. The workers for the Lord in special service were well-trained, picked men. So should those be who are connected with any department of the Lord's work. They exercise judiciously every faculty, rejoicing in the vigorous use of all their powers. We should study how to render to God the most perfect service by constantly seeking to reach perfection. In the day of God, it will be seen that while many have carried heavy loads of care and weighty responsibility that have cut short their usefulness and their life, this sacrifice was because there were so many who were not doing the work which God had left for them to do. There are so many slothful servants. If they had educated and trained their powers, they could have proved themselves to be trustworthy servants, true standard bearers, and there would be no question about placing responsibility upon them. Heroic effort and patient endurance is necessary to be cultivated by every son and daughter of God, that when called into active service, they will not faint or fail. No one would think of entering an army in time of war, hoping to have ease and self-indulgence and a real pleasant and profitable time. They know that hardships and privations are the liabilities, and as long as the war lasts, they will have coarse food and often short rations, long, weary marches by day, enduring the heat of the burning sun, camping out at night in the open air, exposed to drenching rains and chilling frosts, venturing health and life itself as they stand as targets for the enemy. The Christian life is compared to the life of a soldier, and there can be no bribes presented of ease and self-indulgence. The idea that Christian soldiers are to be excused from the conflicts, experiencing no trials, having all temporal comforts to enjoy, and even the luxuries of life, is a farce. The Christian conflict is a battle and a march, calling for endurance. Difficult work has to be done, and all who enlist as soldiers in Christ's army with these false ideas of pleasantness and ease, and then experience the trials, it often proves fatal to their Christianity. God does not present the reward to those whose whole life in this world has been one of self-indulgence and pleasure. It is time that men and women have some true idea of what is expected of a true soldier of the cross of Jesus. Those who serve under the blood-stained banner of the Prince Emmanuel are expected to do difficult work which will tax every power God has given them. They will have painful trials to endure for Christ's sake. They will have conflicts which rend the soul. But if they are faithful soldiers, they will say with Paul, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, 18. An army would be demoralized if they did not learn to obey the order of the captain. Each soldier must act in concert. Union is strength. Without union, efforts are meaningless. Whatever excellent qualities a soldier may possess, he cannot be a safe, trustworthy soldier if he claims a right to act independently of his fellow comrades. This independent action cannot be maintained in the service of Christ. The soldiers of Jesus Christ must move in concert, else it were better that they do nothing. For if one speaks one thing, and another presents ideas and doctrines contrary to his fellow laborers, there is confusion, discord, and strife. Therefore the apostle charges that all who believe on Christ be of one mind, one faith, one judgment, each moving in concert, influencing one another beneficially, because they are both obedient to the precious truth of the Word of God, attached to one Savior, the great source of light and truth. Spasmodic, disunited efforts of professed Christians are like a span of horses, both strong and active, but yet they do not pull together. One tries to start the load, the other settles back in the harness, and both do not pull at the same time. God would have his workers pull together, not one pulling in one direction and another in an opposite direction, for all such efforts are worse than wasted. Those who prefer to act alone are not good soldiers. They have some crookedness in their character which needs to be straightened. They may think themselves conscientious, but they do not the works of Christ. They cannot render efficient service. Their work will be of a character to draw apart when Christ's prayer was that his disciples might be one as he was one with the Father. There are those who think it a virtue to be firm, set, and determined in some peculiar ideas of their own plans and notions that lead them away from unity and concert of action. They take a firm, set will to be of Christian character forming, when actually it is in them a too high appreciation of their own wisdom. They do not consider that there is a possibility of their being deceived in the interpretation of Scripture and their duty. Self-restraint is essential to be exercised by every Christian if they answer the prayer of Christ. He is not a good soldier who will not submit his own judgment and his own ideas to preserve unity of action. We have a noble captain, and every soldier must obey orders. The meekness and lowliness of Christ always leads to unity, and hence to strength in united action. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., August 16, 1984.